In today's gospel, it says, I go to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow hath filled your heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These things. What are these things that our Lord told the apostles that brought them such sorrow that they couldn't even find the courage to ask him a single other question? Well, these things are as follows. He told them already about coming persecutions, but before, when he mentioned it, he didn't go into any detail, but this time he does. He tells the apostles all about the coming persecutions, persecutions which they themselves must face. He told them how the world would absolutely hate them. He revealed to them how the Jewish synagogue would excommunicate them, and he told them how men would actually believe that they would be pleasing God whenever they put to death a follower of Christ. Oh, had you or I been in company that day with the apostles and our blessed Lord at that moment for this conversation and listened to these things for the first time, what sorrow and fear would have filled our hearts? We certainly would have been filled with dread at the thought of persecution, because we never would have expected such suffering, at least to that extent. These things, said our Lord, I said not unto you at the beginning. He had told them, as I mentioned, some of the things about persecution at the beginning when he called them to be his apostles, but now he goes into detail about them, something which he didn't do any sooner because the apostles were not ready to hear such things. Now, if you read the gospel, there seems to be an implicit objection in the words of Christ, the objection being made by the apostles in their mind. Well, Lord, they might have said, why didn't you tell us these things at the beginning when we first decided to follow you? After all, if you had, then we could have decided whether or not it was a good idea to follow you. How often that question might cross our minds, at least, as we face our day-to-day trials. But Christ answers that objection. I did not say these things at first because I was still with you. In other words, he is saying, when I was with you, I bore in my person all the hatred and the persecution of the Jews. But when I go and I ascend into heaven, when I am gone, they will persecute you in my stead. This was not in any way unjust or dishonest on the part of our Lord. Rather, it shows his infinite wisdom in how to deal with souls, because this is the way he treats all souls. When he calls a person to follow him in the Catholic faith or in the priesthood, the religious life, or even in the married state, our Lord never reveals all at once the sufferings that they will have to endure, because he knows that we would, each one of us, just shrink away. We wouldn't follow him. Only after we are confirmed and strengthened, decided in our calling, does he begin to show us these things. Still, going back to the apostles, such sorrow fills their hearts that not a single one of them even thinks to ask our Lord where he is going. And this is the case with sorrow, isn't it? At those times of sorrow and trial, so many questions flood our minds, and there are so many things that we want to say, but there is a part of us that just doesn't know what to say, and perhaps another side that doesn't want to know anything more about the subject. But here in the gospel, we see just how fatherly our Lord treats his apostles, and by extension, how he treats each one of us. He knows that they are sad. He knows why they are sad. And our Lord wants them to ask questions, but he understands that their sadness is the reason why they are silent and cannot ask anything. Again, he wants them to ask questions because he knows that he has all the answers that would alleviate their sadness. But because they don't ask, our Lord, in a very fatherly manner, he gently rebukes them. And then he goes on to answer in a sort of anticipation the questions that they're withholding from him. And he seems to be cheering them up a little bit by telling them that he understands their problem. There's nothing more consoling on a natural level to one who is suffering than to know that someone else understands your problem. He goes on to say that he does understand their problem. In other words, you are sad because I have just told you about all of these coming persecutions. And if that were not enough, I have just announced to you that I, your friend, your brother, and your confidant, I'm going away. He then explains his reasons, truths which should lessen their sorrow. And he tells them, I know that you would like me to stay, but I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. He might have just as well have said, I am going to my Father. After all the sufferings that I have endured on your behalf, I'm going to enter the joys and the glory of my Father's kingdom. I am going, but I will not leave you orphans. I am going to the Father's kingdom, and there, what will I do? I will prepare a place for you. But before it is time for us to be reunited for all eternity, I will send you the Holy Ghost, and he will fill you with all the strength and the grace that you will need. I know that my departure fills you with sadness, my dear friend, but my going away will bring you other joys. When I go, the Paraclete means the Comforter, will come. He will remove all sadness from your hearts and fill you with joy. Now, this gospel that we read today should touch the heart of every one of us because it touches upon the life of every one of us. Isn't sorrow, sadness, and trial a very large part of our life in this veil of tears? And aren't we sometimes so overwhelmed with it? Some more than others, of course, but all to one extent or another. Well, St. Thomas Aquinas says that sorrow clouds our reason. St. Paul said to the Corinthians, the sorrow of the world worketh death. And in the Old Testament, sadness hath killed many, and there is no profit in it. And St. Thomas then goes on to tell us that it is the virtue of patience by which we are enabled to bear sorrow. That is, patience helps us to bear sorrow when our moods and our feelings are all the time going up and down and fluctuating. Patience brings equalness, equanimity to the heart and to the soul, to the mind, so that despite our feelings running amok, we're always going forward to God. Now, turning to the epistle of today's Mass, St. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you shall fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Count it all joy. When trials come, when my life is turned upside down, count this as joy? This, however, is the reaction of one whose reason is already clouded by sadness and who is allowing himself to drown in a sea of pity, just like the apostles in today's gospel. And like the apostles, we hesitate to turn to our Lord in prayer and spiritual reading, where we will find all of those truths and explanations that will bring us consolation and strengthen us in times of sorrow. You know, the apostles, I think, would have remained in sorrow the rest of their life had Christ not shown them why the source of their sadness, that is, his departure, was necessary, and had he not promised them his Holy Spirit to console them. I think that the lesson for the gospel is this, to a great part. When sorrow hits, sadness, any form of suffering or trial, our fallen human nature inclines us to seek comfort and consolation in earthly things, temporal comforts, whether sinful or not. But we mustn't do that. We must first turn to Christ and ask him those questions that the apostles didn't want to ask. Ask him, it's not murmuring. Murmuring is complaining. Ask him to show us the good that will come from the patient bearing of the crosses he sends us, and he will show you. And then turn to your catechism and your spiritual reading, where we will find the truths that will be a source of patience for us. Because in spiritual reading, it is God speaking to man. But above all these truths, we should never forget the one that should be a consolation to any Christian in times of suffering. Our Lord has gone. He has gone to heaven, and there he has prepared a place for us and for all who follow him in patience. O Lord, may thy grace put a watch over my heart so that through patience I may save my soul. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.